Welcome to Have Guitar Will Travel, presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine. With your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with singer-guitarist Zach Schultz from his band, The Zach Schultz Gang. In our conversation, Zach tells us about how he got his interest in guitar after his brother Ben started playing drums. His brother is also a member of the gang. Zach tells us about his influences early on and now, and his opportunity to see them play live. Zach gives us a glimpse into what touring in Europe is like living in the UK and playing in Belgium, France, Germany, etc. Zach takes us through his gear on the road and the gear he's collected guitar trading on Facebook Marketplace. Zach tells us about his favorite music shop local to him and in London, and he tells us about his tour driver, who's Zach's guitar tech. Zach tells us about his album Straight to It and the gear he used on the album. And finally, Zach talks about plans to tour in the US and his favorite beer. To find out more about Zach, you can go to his website, ZachSchultzGang.rocks. ZachSchultzGang.rocks. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Here's my buddy, Zach. How are you, Zach?
Yeah, good, thanks. All good. Yourself?
Where are you at? I'm good, thanks. Where are you at?
I'm a house in Dillingham.
Your house in Dillingham. That's what I heard. When did you start playing guitar?
I think I was probably like 12.
Okay.
I think 11, 12.
Yeah. Did your parents buy you a guitar? How'd you get interested?
I played violin for like probably like 2-3 years before that.
Okay.
And then I wasn't really getting on with that. And then Ben started playing drums, my brother, kind of at a similar time. He's a couple years older than me, but would have been when I was like 11, and he would have been like 13. He started playing drums. I don't know. I guess the music I was listening to was more, you know, more heading into the stuff that leads and stuff to guitar music other than violin. So that was it. Yeah, my dad bought me my first one. It was an Encore.
An Encore
Blaster.
Yeah. What shape was it?
Les Paul. Bottleneck Les Paul.
Oh really?
Classic.
Double neck?
Yeah.
For your first guitar?
A bolt on neck. Sorry. Bolt on.
Oh, bolt on neck. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not a double neck.
And who were your guys? Who were you listening to that turned you on?
Probably at that time, it would have been like a lot of Guns N' Roses, AC/DC, just the classic stuff, really.
Yeah.
Thin Lizzy, you know. We went to a thing called Rock School, and like sort of through that, you know, we were learning like White Stripes and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was just the classic stuff, really, like in those early days, you know. And then it took a few years before, you know, kind of discovered the blues and started going down that approach, you know.
Yeah. And so who are you guys now?
In terms of playing guitar, still Joe Bonamassa.
Yeah.
Rory Gallagher.
Yeah.
Gary Moore, Steve Ray Vaughan. Who else do I like? I like Greg Koch.
Oh, of course.
I like Chris Buck.
Uh-huh.
The thing is now is there's so many good players like on Instagram and stuff. It's like that's hard. When you look sometimes, it's like, I don't know, sometimes it can make you feel good and sometimes it can make you feel bad.
Oh, but, sure.
That's kind of the beauty of it, I suppose, you know. So yeah, there's quite a few, you know. Kirk Fletcher.
Yeah, of course.
So, that's kind of my main one, I suppose.
Yeah. And have you had an opportunity to see like Joe or Greg or any of those guys play? Kirk?
Yeah, many a time. I saw Kirk probably nearly 10 years ago now. And I literally just came back from Cork a couple of weeks ago to watch Joe Bonamassa do the Rory Gallagher stuff. So
oh, right on.
So yeah, just been.
Yeah, excellent. And so, I mean, you're touring all over Europe. What's that like?
It's good, man. Yeah, it's great. I mean, like, we're lucky that we get, you know, so many gigs, you know, so sort of when people offer it, you know. I said to my agent when we first signed with him a couple of years ago, I just said, book me as many gigs as you possibly can in Europe, and that's what he's going to do. Things are really different out in Europe in comparison to the UK, you know what I mean? Like, I think people are a little more up for it over there, and the hospitality is a lot better, you know.
Sure.
So we play in Europe, I'd say probably more than we play in the UK at the moment.
You know? Okay. And is it hard going from country to country, like as far as passports and all, and bringing your gear and stuff?
To be fair, I think where we do it, we travel in such a small van. It's just only a little 5-seater van, and we travel as light as we possibly can.
Uh-huh.
So we don't really have any issues on that thing. I think if we were to have a bigger crew with us, and more gear, then we'd have to start looking at carnets and stuff. But at the moment where we're at, we're totally fine. So yeah, it hasn't really been a problem, to be honest.
Okay.
I thought it would be since the whole Brexit thing, but
yes, exactly.
There's a couple of, I think, you know, to where we're kind of just touring in one vehicle, you know, with all our stuff in it. And our bass player did have a look online and found some bits and pieces that kind of said, yeah, this is okay, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. So, yeah, we haven't really had any issues. Touch wood, eh?
Yeah. And so going from the UK to the rest of Europe, because I'm from America, so everything is Europe over there. How do you get there? Is it you put your car on a ferry, or how do you get from?
Yeah, we get the ferry. And then, I mean, the good thing for us, because we're in the south of England, it takes us about an hour to get to the ferry port.
Okay.
And then another hour on the ferry. And then, you know, 2-3 hours and we'll be in the Netherlands or Belgium.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's pretty easy to do, to be honest with you. You know?
Yeah. And the clubs in Belgium and the Netherlands, do they pay pretty good?
Yeah, great. Yeah, really good. Really good. I mean, we're lucky, man. I think we just, when we started, you know, we probably did our first tour like a couple of years ago, probably 1 year ago now. Just over a year ago in Europe, and we've just kept going back, you know, kept going back, building up, playing the same venues and more people showing up, you know. So so yeah, it's really going well out there at the moment. And, you know, we've got a great agent, Nico, who's really done great for us, you know, so we're lucky to have him, you know. So, so yeah, it's working well out there. It's working really well.
Right on. And are you, do you have the opportunity to support people like Kirk Fletcher and Greg Koch out there?
I mean, to be fair, I know Greg just came over for a tour a couple of months ago, but Charles, we're so busy a lot of the time, you know what I mean? We're supporting a friend of ours who owns a venue down in Folkestone. We're supporting a band called High Fade. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I haven't.
They're like a funk rock thing, and right, we've been fans of them for a couple of years. That would be nice to sort of meet them and play with them, you know. So yeah, the last support stuff we did would have been with Samantha.
Oh,
Samantha Fish.
Yeah, of course.
Last year.
Yeah, right on. That's great. Fantastic. And so as far as gear, what are you using? You mentioned that, you know, you're fitting it all in a small van. What are you using for gear?
I've got, main amp is a Roland Blues Cube.
Okay.
It's the 80 watt one, I think. So that's the amp. And then I've got a Boss TU3 tuner.
Uh-huh.
An Ibanez PS9 tube screamer, and then a couple of Strats, and that's it.
Wow. And the Strats, what vintage Strats are they?
So I've got a 78 parts of caster thing. Uh-huh. So I've got this neck. The neck was for sale, well, with a body on it, a natural body, for £15 on eBay, and it was just listed as electric guitar.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff dreams are made of, right? And I managed to make a deal with her, because when I saw the headstock, I knew it was an old one. I know it was the 70s one.
Yeah.
And it had this, you know, the amber tint on it, and, you know, it clearly been through the wars.
Sure.
And I made a deal with her. I paid £100 for the neck and this body, and it had Seymour Duncan. Really early Seymour Duncan pickups in it, which I managed to sell for quite a bit of money.
Uh-huh.
But that kind of neck sort of stuck around for a bit. And then I had various bodies. The original body it came with was kind of some old like lawsuit thing, but the dimensions weren't quite right for it.
Yep.
So I put on, I used to collect a lot of the Squire Silver Series Strats, the Japanese ones.
Yeah, of course.
And so on there is a body from a 92, 93 Squire Silver Series Strat. And then the pickups are a guy called Lee at Green Pickups in Manchester. He wound me my own sort of set and has been selling them. So, and they're kind of based on I had Fat 50s, custom shop Fat 50s in there before.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like the sound of the, you know, the Texas kind of sound in the neck and the middle.
Sure.
And then the Fat sound on the bridge to sort of get the, you know, Steve Ray Vaughan, John Mayer tone in the neck in the middle, and then more the Eric Johnson-y tone in the bridge. So that's kind of what he did. So the bridge is based on the Fat 50s, and the middle and neck are kind of more 60s sounding. So that's the main one. I've been using that for pretty much since the band started, so a good 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And then I've just got a 1988-89 standard in Puto Grey, maple neck, all stock, everything stock, just in case I break a string on the other one, and I'll run to that, you know. I just try and keep it simple, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have more gear at home?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a few bits. I do a lot of, when I'm back home, I do a lot of buying and selling on Facebook Marketplace, which is kind of a way of making a little bit of extra money on the side and just a bit of fun, really.
Yeah.
I mean, during lockdown, it was pretty good because everyone was clearing out the houses. A lot of people didn't know. You're hoping for the day where it says, you know, electric guitar and you go around, you know. So, but yeah. I've had some good deals. I've got it was a Gibson SG Classic on Facebook for like £300 with P90s in it.
Yeah.
And I made the deal with him there, and then I said, "Have you got any others?" And he said, "I've got four in the loft." And he pulled down a 1970s like Mocha Brown Telecaster, an Eric Clapton Martin, a Eric Clapton signature Strat, and a Guild Aristocrat 1954, proper old Guild.
Yeah.
And I made him a deal on all of them, and he said, "Wow, that's a lot of money." And I said, "Well, this stuff is worth a lot more than what I'm offering you." But so to say, I made a really, really good deal on the Guild, the Gibson, and the Clapton Strat, and then sold the Clapton Strat off to kind of outweigh the cost. But it's great, and he wanted him to go to a good home, and that Guild's such a old guitars like that where you can really feel where they've been played. I mean, the thing's battered. There were stories circling about that maybe it was in John Lee Hooker's hands at some point. The guy I bought it from kind of was, it's hard to tell, really. I mean, I should probably maybe take it up to London and see if anyone's got anything to say about it, because it might be one of those things that's been gone for however long and just ended up in this guy's hands, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've got those. What else have I got? I've got, I just picked up an Epiphone Sheraton. That's all right. That's quite nice. Acoustics, I play a Faith acoustic, which is pretty good, sort of just basic, you know. I've got an old Taylor that I picked up pretty cheap. Some ones that people have given me, I've got a nice Squire, Japanese Hank Marvin Strat, which is cool.
Right on.
Just a bunch of stuff, really. I mean, like, I enjoy the buying and moving stuff on, but for when it comes to what I use on stage, pretty much my Strat, I'm happy with what that is, you know what I mean?
Nothing wrong with that. And so if you were going to go to a music store in London, like, you know, to have them check out that Guild, where would you go?
I'd probably go to, I think there's one called New Kings Road Guitars, which is pretty good. Denmark Street, like, there's still some good stuff there. Sadly, I don't think it is what it ever used to be, you know what I mean? But there's some good places there, like One Joe's is a great shop, and 6060 Sounds, you know. So there's plenty of places out there. I mean, I'm lucky up here. I've got a local shop just up the road from where I live in Gillingham, and I've been going there for years and years buying strings and they'll have bits coming in. So we're lucky to have that, you know what I mean? So I head up there, you know.
Yeah.
But also as well, like, you know, the power of the internet these days, you can try and, like, you know, type in a serial number, the chances are something's going to come up about it, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, of course. And as far as, do you do all your own repair work, or do you take it to somebody?
Well, we've got our driver, he's a guitar tech, that's his job, so he comes with us, so we're quite lucky that he does all my bits and pieces, you know, and he's great, man. He really, really is great. He's a super nice guy, and he's very, very cheap. And he helps us out big time. So I'll usually, you know, if I find something on Facebook Marketplace, give it to him, and then he'll sort it out, and then I'll flog it on and make some beer money, you know.
Yeah, gotcha. And what about amps? You anything as far as amps at home?
I used to use the Boss Neckstone before the Blues Cube. A lot of them are all down at our local pub, The Ship. I just sort of leave them there. So I've got a Marshall JCM 2000 head and cab down there. A couple of Marshall valve states.
And are there venues where you can actually use Marshalls these days?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I bought that Marshall for the pub, because when kids walk into, you know, a small venue and they see a Marshall, they want to play through the Marshall, you know.
If they
saw the Rowan Cube sitting there, they'd be like, I'd rather go through the big Marshall stack, you know. It probably never goes over like one or two on the volume, but, you know, it's like, it's for the kids, really, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And your new album, or your debut album, is Straight to It?
Yeah.
Did you use any special gear? Was it just your Strat and your Roland?
I actually didn't use the Roland in the studio. I used an orange, I think it's an orange rock reverb.
Okay.
The guy in the studio kind of just quite good at, you know, getting a rocky sound.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went through the orange. And then he also had like a plexi clone. That was pretty good, just for a 412, you know.
Yeah.
Cranked. And then, yeah, I used the Guild. I used the SG quite a lot on the album.
Uh-huh.
For some of the thicker stuff. And the Strat, yeah. So, and then, yeah, just same with the pedals.
Yeah.
I have an SG screamer and a tuner.
You know? You managed to sneak in a ballad?
Yeah, yeah. we were debating whether that was going to go on the record. But, Anthony wrote that one. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's a... The classic end of album, you know, long one.
You know? Well, the playing is superb. It's fantastic. You did a great job.
Thanks, man.
Who produced it?
Ian Sadler. He's a guy in Whitstable. We've been going to him for probably, you know, 10 years in old bands doing sort of pop punk, rock, emo stuff.
Okay.
And we just kind of wanted a raw sound, and you can get the drum sounding really good. You know, the kick drum sounding like it's, you know. And we recorded it all, most of it live, so it was all, you know, we'd do the rhythm tracks, the bass and drums, and then just overdub the solos and stuff, you know. Like before, we've tried to, like, you know, record stuff like bit by bit, and then, like, before you know it, you're kind of playing it live, and there's like 100 guitar tracks and, like, you know, like different bits and pieces, and you can't replicate it, you know. So trying to really play them all live in the studio, it kind of has a certain sound about it, you know.
Yeah,
and I think it'll be easy, you know, when coming to play it live. It's more of an accurate representation of what you're going to hear, you know?
Yeah. And it's not just blues. There's some funk in there. It's a great album. It's a great album.
No, thanks, man. Yeah. Just, you know, like, I think for us, we're kind of, you know, songwriting doesn't, like, for a lot of people, it does come easy, but for us, like, we do have to work on it. You know what I mean? We have to sit down and probably hash it out, you know. When it comes to playing live, that's the bit we enjoy, you know, like we love that bit. But
yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's been, you know, this album, we had rough ideas for it and went to the studio, and I'm just kind of glad to get it out there, you know what I mean, and see what people think of it. And, you know, I'm excited to see the you know, there's some songs on there that are, like, certainly not blues, and there's some, you know, and there's some blues records on there, you know, so it's just nice to do a bit of everything, I suppose, you know.
Sure, absolutely. What's it like traveling through the Netherlands and Belgium in the middle of winter?
Do you know what? To be honest with you, I'd say better than the summer. The summer has been so hot over here this year.
Oh, really?
In Spain. Okay. And in Europe, like, whereas the winter for me, I'm easy. I'll happily throw a coat on. I'd rather be too cold than too hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, sweating your nut off on stage as well. It's just, like, you know. But I mean, usually, like, you know, like, I think we usually tour. We'll always do a tour in December. Uh-huh. And it does get cold, and especially in January, February, it does get cold. But, you know, it's part of the fun, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And how much does a ferry cost to take it to I'm fascinated by this. To take a ferry with your van and all your guys.
How much do you think it costs?
I don't, like, $100, like 100 pounds.
Yeah, exactly that. Oh, exactly, 100 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
It's all right, though. I mean, for us, though, like it's a shame they don't do, you know, like air miles, you know what I mean? We'd be like, you know, if we had, like, so many, like the other week we went to Belgium to play a show. We got the ferry back to play a private party in our pub. And then the next day we drove back to Belgium on the ferry again. So, and then came back the next day. So,
wow.
Yeah, it works for us. Financially, it's good, and the crowds are great. And, you know, if we can make, we'll always make it work. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you can get the Euro Tunnel,
mm-hmm.
The train, but that costs like an extra like 250 quid. So never bother with that. We always get the ferry. And on the ferry, you can have a beer or a cup of tea, and, you know, play the fruit machines. So, you know, it's all good fun.
Yeah, exactly. And so at your local pub, is that the place you guys play on a regular basis?
Yeah, but it's kind of where we started. I mean, when we're not on the road, we'll be in there, either, you know, drinking or hanging out or whatever. You know. But there's you know, some great killer, like, new young bands in Medway where we live at the moment, which is really, really cool to see. So mm-hmm. it's been a great sort of the past 18 months here has been wicked. So we're kind of lucky that we can go away and tour, you know, and come back to to a scene, you know, a local scene that's also thriving. You know, yeah. We're very lucky.
Right on. And what's your beer? What's your choice of beer?
Guinness, always.
Always Guinness. Guinness. Okay, right.
Always
on.
Guinness. Or Stella. Guinness or Stella, really. Yeah, then too.
Yeah. Any plans of coming to the States?
Yeah, I think it's kind of all getting sorted out for like September 2026.
Okay,
so right on. I'm not sure where we're going to be, but that's we're going to be over there for sure.
All right, right on. Well, I hope to get the opportunity to meet you in person.
Yeah, for sure, man. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries, James. Thanks a lot. It's great to speak to you.
Likewise.
All right. Cheers, man.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.